26, Matthew chapter 26. We have been in Matthew for a long time. I didn't look it up, but I think we've been doing this for over a year now. And we're just about to finish, but we've got a couple of chapters left to go. Matthew chapter 26. Do you think if you believed the Bible, it would change the way you act? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. For example, we have a missions conference coming up, and year after year after year, we remind ourselves that the Bible tells us that if we will give to missions, that God will meet our needs. I've used this illustration often, but it's powerful, and that is, how would you spend money if you knew that whatever check that you wrote for a reasonable expense, a light bill, a house payment, faith promise, missions, giving, tithe, or whatever, how would you spend if you knew at the end of the month God was going to put it all back again? I'd like to have that kind of checking account, amen? But in God's commodity, He promises to meet our needs. The Bible promises us that one day we'll stand before God and give an account of ourselves. And the Bible promises us that we'll be rewarded for being faithful. You know, there's a reward for being in church today. You can give a cup of cold water to somebody in Jesus' name, and the Bible says you won't lose the reward for that. Now, when you and I are in that reward position one day to receive those rewards, don't you think we're going to wish we'd have done more? But if you believe the Bible, you haven't got to wait till then. You do it right now. There's a woman in this story. I see no reason to believe that she is wealthy. I kind of get the idea that she is just average, doesn't have a whole lot. Interestingly, and we won't do it today, but if you read this account in the other Gospels, You can learn a little bit more about this story. One of the things you'll learn, for example, is this woman is going to give an amount. She's going to sacrifice an amount equivalent to about 1 year's wages. It's pretty easy to calculate that in our day. If you make minimum wage in Arizona right now, a year's wages, if you work 40 hours a week, is about $25,000, give or take a thousand or two. And most of us, some of us at least have jobs that pay more than that. Would you be willing to give $25,000 because you believe God? Don't answer that question. Let me ask it differently. What if you only had $25,000? Which is kind of what it looks like here. Because in Luke, I believe it is, it may be Mark, but it's in Mark or Luke, the Bible says that Jesus makes this statement about this woman. It says, she hath done what she could. So this is her, the extent of her ability, what she's going to do right here. And you're going to have to see something with me, and that is, why would she do this? Why would she expend perhaps her entire life savings or something close to that in the way that she does? And it's because she heard what Jesus said, and she believed Him. Now, you and I, not with our ears, but with our hearts, we can hear what Jesus says. Amen? It's right here. And the question is, do we believe it? And if we believe it, the Bible says we will act upon it. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 13. And we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, He said unto His disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, today we need for you to work in our hearts. We ask you to increase our faith. We ask you to allow us to see things the way this woman saw them, so that we would realize that what we might have thought was precious is nothing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman obviously saw that, and she was willing to expend a very great deal of money, a valuable possession that she had, and she took that possession and she imparted it upon the Lord Jesus Christ because she believed what he said, that he was going to be crucified. Father, I ask you today that each one here would be able to understand the Word of God, and that the Holy Spirit would be able to work in our hearts today and do a work that would change us the way this woman was changed. I pray that if there's one here who's not saved, that they would understand their need of salvation and come and find Christ as Savior today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a sequence of events here, and I'll kind of lay it out to you that way. The beginning is in verses 1 and 2, and the Lord Jesus Christ tells what's about to happen. We call that prophecy. And he plainly states he's going to be crucified. And what fascinates me is that it doesn't seem like his disciples really understood that, at least not the 12. But one woman did. And she acted upon that, and we'll see that here in just a minute. So it begins with the prophecy. And folks, I just say it this way. In our life, things ought to begin with the Word of God. You say, well, Pastor, I've got some things that I want in my life, and once I get them, then I'll give God some of my time. If you'll seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, then all these things will be added unto you. Our priority ought to be God first. Amen? Prophecy, it begins with the Word of God. Jesus told them what's going to happen. Then, it's not an accident. God wrote it this way on purpose. Verses 3, 4, and 5 describe the plot. Just like Jesus said in verse 2 that he was going to be crucified, in verses 3 and 4 and 5, we have some powerful men who despise him because they're afraid they're going to lose their following, and that the people that follow them will follow Jesus instead. And so they're plotting to kill him, just like he said. And folks, I can tell you this, when the Bible says it, it will come to pass. The Bible says that there is a heaven waiting for those of us who are saved. It will come to pass. The Bible says there is a hell where anyone who has not received Jesus Christ, has not turned to him from their sins, that they're going to spend eternity there. It will come to pass. And so you just have this, it doesn't even surprise us, the prophecy followed by the plot. But then, beginning in verse 6, there is this pouring out that this woman accomplishes, to where she takes this box, and I don't know how big the box is, but I know it's made out of something that once it's broken, it can't be put back together. And it's filled with something that's very, very valuable, very precious. And as we later hear from the probably mostly Judas Iscariot, because he was a thief and he had the bag and he wanted the money. But at any rate, they say this was very precious. It could have been sold for a large amount of money. But this woman found Jesus more precious than what she owned. Oh, that we could be that way. And sure enough, and we'll see some more of this tonight in the evening message with Naboth and his vineyard. Sure enough, when the woman did what was right, there was persecution. You know, the Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Say, Pastor, I don't want to be persecuted. Well, none of us really want to, but God chooses, and we just heard the song, His Way is Best. Amen? I don't want to tell you too much, but Naboth, if you remember in Kings, and we'll look at it tonight, Naboth did what God said, and he died for it. It's called martyrdom. But the Bible says that a martyr has a special place in heaven, that he's going to be honored. Very few people have the privilege of dying for Christ. And so when we suffer for him, that's a privilege as well. And Paul and Silas said that when they were in prison in the book of Acts. Persecution comes, and then finally, and this is the part I like the best, the Lord Jesus Christ steps in and protects the woman. And he also proclaims something, that because she has honored him, that he's going to do something to honor her. So let's go through a few of these. It won't take long. And just as we apply them, ask each of us to consider how this applies in our life. The consequences. When you believe God, it's going to change the way you act. If you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and you're on your way to hell, the Bible says that faith is counted for righteousness and you will call upon the name of the Lord. It's the same as escaping from a burning building. If you see the fire and you see the fire escape, we have signs on our doors that say exit. And if you see the fire and you see the fire escape, you're going to go out the door. When you understand that you're a sinner and that you're bound for hell, that the Bible is the truth, you're going to look for a way to get saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the way. Amen? John 14:6. This woman saw something. She understood something. And it's interesting, and I can't get too far into this, but often in the Bible, it's women that demonstrate faith. Men should have faith too. Amen? The 12 disciples, these apostles we call them, these men should have had faith, 11 of them at least. But it was a woman that demonstrated that faith. The faith that comes from believing what God said. When he said to his disciples in verse 2, after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And when you look at the events following this, it just doesn't seem like they got it. They seem to be shocked as these events unfold. And of course, there's a whole lot more that happens between now and the crucifixion. But the disciples just don't really seem to get it. But isn't that true about Christians today? Seems like sometimes folks just don't seem to get it. Folks, those people that we love that haven't received Christ, they are going to die and go to hell. Those people in this neighborhood, if they don't learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for them on the cross, they're going to die and go to hell. That's not a fable or a fairy tale or an interesting story. It's the truth. These flags that represent millions, hundreds of millions of souls. In fact, if you add them all up, it's in the billions of souls. If we don't send missionaries to reach those folks, they're going to die and go to hell. That's the truth. It's very rarely that you can take money and make it effective the way you can by giving to missions. And money really isn't the question. We need to give ourselves to the Lord first. That's what the Bible says. But if I can take money and I can send a missionary, for example, to Mexico, and they can go, we've seen this with our own eyes in Mexico, they can go to a little village out in the middle of nowhere that you never would visit in a million years if you were just trying to find some place to go see. It's just a little village, the streets are dirt, the yards are dirt, the floors are dirt, the people are not wealthy at all, they're just getting by. And I can take some of my money that God gave me, by the way, that God has taken good care of us, hasn't he? And I can send a missionary to a little village in Mexico. And Mr. Mendez and I still picture that time. Mr. Mendez is big on giving away candy. And he bought, I think it was a 2-pound bag of candy. It was big. It may have been a 5-pound bag of candy. Mr. Mendez became one of the most popular people in the country there for a while. I can still picture that yard that we were standing in. It's about middle of the day. It was hot. It was dusty. And the missionary had gone there to tell some people about the Lord and invite them out to church. You know how he got there? People like you and I sent him. The Lord sent him first, amen? But we sent him. And you know what's interesting? I don't know how much money you've given to missions in your lifetime, but let's just say if you gave $1,000 a year for 20 years, that's $20,000. You say, well, that's $80 a month, by the way. That's not that much money. You gave $1,000 a year for 20 or 30 years. You say, wow, if I had $30,000, what could I do with that? But don't you understand? If we send missionaries out, what can they do with it? And folks, we may not have everything we want, but God promised to meet our needs. And I don't want to spend all my time on this. I just want you to understand something. You can take a little green piece of paper with some guy's picture on it and a picture of a building on the back, and you can give that to a missionary, and he can use it to reach souls for Christ in places that we will never, ever visit. The Middle East, Ethiopia, China, Brazil. Chances are, in my lifetime, I'll never go to one of those places. But the missionary will. Amen? If you believe, you're going to act differently. It's just that simple. The Bible says, lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. How do you lay up treasure in heaven? Well, you're going to have to do some things differently. Do you believe that what you do for the Lord lays up treasure in heaven? Yeah. Amen? Then why aren't we laying up more? A lot of folks expend all their time laying up treasure here, and then they step into eternity and it stays behind. It's our choice if we believe. This woman believed what Jesus said. The disciples seemed perplexed, and it didn't really come into their mind what they should do. But this woman, she made a decision. The scribes and the Pharisees and the priests and the elders of the people in verse 3, they made a decision too. They consulted how they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. I would not want to be in that category and stand before God one day and have to try to explain why I crucified his only begotten son. But the Lord Jesus Christ allowed that to happen so he could die for us. Amen? They had a plot. We're going to skip over that for the sake of time. Look at verse 6. This is where it gets good. Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Now, Bethany is just outside Jerusalem. And if I recall correctly, it's the place at the top of the Mount of Olives. It's on the east side of the city. And it's just there's a hill there. And on the top of this hill, there's this village called Bethany. And the Lord Jesus Christ was there in the house of Simon the leper. Aren't you glad the Lord will associate with people that are less than the best? I don't know if any of us know a leper. Oh, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ had healed that leper. Amen? But he's in the house of Simon the leper in a place amongst ordinary people like you and I. And his disciples are there. And in verse 7, there came unto him a woman, and we never even hear her name. But we sure know what she did, don't we? It's not important that we make our name known. It's important that we make our Lord known. She took this alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and she poured it on his head. As he sat there at meat, she did not seem to ask for permission. She did not announce what she was going to do. She did not wait to see if anyone would thank her. And if you can picture this, it appears as if something that would have been in our day worth tens of thousands of dollars was permanently expended in a moment of time to anoint the body of Christ for the burying. Immediately, without any delay, it seems at all, in verse 8, The disciples saw it, and when they saw it, they had indignation. They were, we would say, maybe disgusted. They were outraged. How can she do that? It seems to me like she understood who Christ was better than they did. And it says that they made this comment, "To what purpose is this waste?" What is waste? Think about waste. You know, for a while I was doing some inspecting at the recycle plants here in town, the one up north and then the one down south, and there's a third one in Scottsdale. I never have been there. And you'd be amazed at how much garbage one city like ours can produce. And they'll take that stuff, and there are some people that sit at a conveyor belt all day long, and they have an 8-hour shift or whatever, and they look at that conveyor belt, and if it's plastic, they put it here. If it's metal, they put it there. If it's paper, they put it over here. Or what they do is they pull the bad plastic out. And then as that stuff gets sorted, they bale it up, and they sell it to folks in Indonesia who take it and try to make something good out of it. But when you and I, both of us, like I've got, or all of us, I've got, for example, in my house, two trash cans, the recycle one and the other one. And I pay $22 a month for somebody to come to my house and take these two big trash cans. Once a week, they take those trash cans, they empty them off, and off they go. And everything I put in there is what I call waste. It's not worth anything to me. It's not worth anything except getting rid of. In fact, I have to pay some money to get rid of it. That's waste, something that doesn't do you any good. Now, with that thought in mind, read the sentence again. They ask the question, to what purpose is this waste? Can I ask you this? Is it worth something to you when you honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it worth something to you when you sacrifice for Him? You see, she took something that they thought of as precious, and I'm sure she thought of it that way as well, but she used it on someone that she found as precious. If you love someone and you do something good for them, is that waste? No. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you serve Him and honor Him, is that waste? Some people would say, well, you know, you could have made a lot of money and you chose to serve God instead. What a waste. No, what a waste is when you spend your life all taking care of yourself and making things for yourself and getting things as good as you can for yourself. And then you step into eternity and it all stays behind. You never saw a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You know, the waste is when we spend our lives on ourselves instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we doing with our lives? You know, the truth of the matter, and I hate to say it, but I just have to, is some people see it this way, that if they were to take time to go to church, to go out and soul win, to send missionaries out, to honor God, to read their Bible, to pray, they think, oh, that'd be a waste of time. Be careful what you categorize as waste. The Bible says if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for His sake and for the gospel's, you will find it. You may have read the story. There was a fellow this last week that took his own life. He is the man that was responsible for Sweet and Low being the famous product that it is. And every one of us has gone to a restaurant or some establishment, and they've had those little pink packages of artificial sweetener. This fellow was fabulously rich. He had made money on something as simple as that, millions and millions of dollars, lived in a wonderful apartment in New York City in one of the nicest places, and he took his life this week. He was older and he had a disease, and he felt his life was over. You know, for you and I as Christians, stepping into eternity is when our life really begins. At least in a brand new way. And you should not ever, ever, ever take that which belongs to God, and folks, your life belongs to God. I would think of that man, and sadly I'd have to say, if he is in hell today, all the money he made, all the things he did, It's gone. It was a waste. This woman did something that demonstrated that she knew that serving God was not a waste. I wonder if we know that. She was persecuted for that. They called her out. Why would you do this? We could have sold that and used the money for something better. There's nothing better than Jesus. Amen? Look at verse 10. When Jesus understood it, when he understood what was being said, he had a reply. You know what's great? When it came time for someone to defend this woman, the Lord Jesus Christ himself stood up to defend her. I have an application of that for you that's even better. You know what's great? When you and I were lost in our sins and on our way to hell, Jesus Christ stood up and did something about it. He went to the cross. No one's ever done anything better for you than that. But you know what goes along with that is when you believe him and you receive the Lord Jesus Christ and then you begin to live for him, and there will be people that will say, well, you're wasting your life. Well, you could have gone and made some money. Why'd you go to church? You could have used that money to buy something for you. Why'd you send it to a missionary? You could have whatever. And people accuse you of wasting your life. Who's wasting their life? The Lord Jesus Christ corrects the persecutors, and he says, that's not the way it is. Here's how it is. He says unto them, don't trouble the woman. She hath wrought a good work upon me. I would like to think that everybody here would want to be able to have Jesus say that you and I have wrought a good work on him. Amen? That men may not appreciate it, that some men may think you've wasted your time or your money or whatever you've got. But folks, that's not the way Christ sees it. And one of these days when we stand before him, I hope he could look at you and I and say, you wrought a good work for me. That's a whole lot better than when men approve. She hath wrought a good work upon me. Verse 11, he says, you have the poor always with you, and me you have not always. It's nothing wrong. In fact, it's an important thing to support the poor and take care of them. But the Lord Jesus Christ is something different. In verse 12, she hath poured this ointment on my body for my burial. Now, there's a couple of ways of thinking about this, and I'm going to be out of time if I'm not careful. You could say, well, God made that happen. He did. But I believe with all my heart that that woman made a conscious decision to take the most precious thing she had and to use it to anoint his body because she understood what he had said and she knew that was the right thing to do. Folks, by now, if you've been in church very long, you know what he said. The question is, will we do the right thing? I sure like that verse. God is able. You know, the Lord reached the entire world with about a dozen men. What could he do if we were willing to be used by him? Amen? God is able. Are we willing? And God's not going to make you serve him. God didn't make this woman do this. She made a decision. I heard what Jesus said. I believed him. I'm going to act upon it. Now, again, I'm not trying to be harsh, but I'm trying to be realistic here. When you don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are not faithful, when you do not act upon what he said, I have to conclude that you really didn't believe him. Would you agree with me? I believe him. Amen? And therefore, we're going to do some things we wouldn't have otherwise done. So let's finish up with this. In verse 12, he says, she did it for my burial. Look at verse 13. Verily, that word means truly. There's no doubt about it. He says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Sounds to me like the Lord knew that Matthew and Mark and Luke, I know Luke for sure, Mark, I'm not sure how much he says, but John doesn't. But I think the Lord knew that there was going to be a recording of this event, which was going to happen decades later, actually, and that he was going to preserve that so that you and I can open this Bible and see what this woman did 2,000 years ago. That's an amazing thing to me, that one little event that didn't take more than a few moments has been recorded in the Bible for all eternity. But folks, when you choose to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him with your life, there's eternal consequences. What can you and I do this week that's going to last for all eternity? Yesterday, I hurt my foot. I was out pruning my tree, and I cut some branches off of that tree and piled them up next to the trash can. We'll try to throw them away as time permits. But I know something. A few years from now, it's going to all have to be done over again. And very little impact did I have. Eternally, no impact at all. That tree is going to be long gone when eternity comes. In fact, my house and my car and my bank accounts and all that I have, they're going to be long gone in eternity. But you and I can do some things that have eternal consequences. 10 million years from now, when you and I are in heaven, and you can ask this woman about this yourself, and she can fill in the blanks I couldn't fill in today. But 10 million years from now, what she did is still going to be in this book. Folks, the Lord's never going to forget. If you believe that, it'll change the way you live. Because there's a lot of things we can do this week that won't have any value in eternity, but there's some things that will. Come out next Sunday morning. We're going to have 3 missionaries, and they're going to be here Sunday through Wednesday, 2 of them at least. One of them will be here Monday through Wednesday. And those men, they made a decision. They said, you know what? God's not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And in this particular case, these 3 men are going to Wales, to India, and to the U.S. And by the way, isn't that a beautiful flag right there? Amen? And so what those men decided was, rather than living my life to see how much money I can make and how good of a house I can have and how many vacations I can take and what kind of clothes I can wear and how much pleasure I can enjoy, instead of living my life for that, I'm going to live it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to take my life and give it to Him so that He can use me to reach lost souls in these places like India and Wales and the United States. I think men like that deserve to be supported. And I think men like that deserve to have us come out and hear them. Amen? And you have a choice next week. You can be a blessing to those fellows, and that, in encouraging them and getting them to the field, is going to have eternal consequences. Or we can live our lives for ourselves. I sure do like the way God is gracious to us. In the end, some people missed an opportunity here. I can't tell you numerically how many times it happened, but over and over again, Jesus told His disciples, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to rise again the third day. And He did. Because when He says He's going to do something, He does it. And the disciples heard that over and over and over. What were they doing at home on Sunday morning? When He rose from the dead, you know who was there? Some women. When He was crucified and they buried Him in that tomb, they rolled that stone and everybody else had gone home. You know who was still there? Some women. When Jesus said He was going to be crucified, and everybody heard it, and they all could have done something to recognize His burial and to honor Him. Do you know who did something? One woman. He's spoken. What are we doing about it? If we believe Him, we'll do something. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.